Welcome to Making Change, a podcast of the Chronicle of Philanthropy. I'm Hilde Gottlieb, author of The Pollyanna Principles and president of the Community Driven Institute, and it's my privilege to host this podcast where we talk with change leaders from around the world about this sector's potential for creating visionary social change. I'm so pleased to have Kathleen Enright as my guest today on Making Change. Kathleen is the CEO of Grantmakers for Effective Organizations, or GEO as they're commonly known. I often talk about GEO as the coalition of grantmakers who get it, who understand that funders are only successful if their grantees are making a difference. One of GEO's projects several years ago was their Change Agent project, an attempt to learn how social change happens. Using what they learned from that effort, GEO has evolved to embody social change at the core of its being. It's my pleasure to have Kathleen share her thoughts and observations here with us today. My guest today is Kathleen Enright from the Grantmakers for Effective Organizations. Kathleen, welcome.
Thank you, Hilde, for inviting me.
It is exciting to have you here. If I think of the potential this sector has to create more significant change in our communities and around the world, the work that GEO does is just right at the heart of that. And so I'm very, very glad to have you here with us today. As we're thinking about what's happening in foundations and what's happening in funding around the country, what are you seeing happening in foundations that are creating significant change that's not happening in other foundations? What's going on there?
Well, that's a fantastic question, and I think it's part of an evolutionary process. But the fundamentals for me that need to shift and are shifting among the most pioneering foundations and those that are really attentive to the complexity of the problems that we're all trying to address, it has to do with who's involved in what way and who decides. And I think one of the fundamentals to good philanthropy is trusting in the people closest to the problems you're trying to solve to be key informants in your strategy development, to come forward with ideas to help solve the problems, and funders then play the crucial role of resourcing them and supporting them over a good bit of time to make that progress. So I think that's one fundamental shift that's happening. It's who's involved, you know, who decides, who's involved in strategy development. I think another fundamental shift has to do with where the locus of activity is housed. And philanthropy is often a bilateral relationship between foundations and the grantees or specific grantees. So it's one organization dealing with a foundation around a particular grant. And my sense is that in the future, philanthropy is going to need to be looking more at how it moves work through networks and coalitions and communities rather than kind of keeping the focus on the individual organization. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not to diminish the importance of really strong individual organizations, but the real power is in a collective or collaborative approach to change.
Can you share, you mentioned a bilateral relationship. What do you mean by that?
Oh, I just mean it's one foundation with one nonprofit, whereas what we probably need is, you know, is sort of a multilateral relationship where the foundation is engaging with a cluster of their grantees together and that those grantees are in private relationships with one another because they understand that they have a role to play in the work, in solving whatever the broader problem is that they're set up to work on.
Gotcha. Can you share an example? Can you share a story? Someone that's doing that and doing it well?
I think that this is an emergent practice, but the Barr Foundation in Boston, their mission is to build a better Boston, are focused geographically, and I think that there's a real recognition by them. They say using knowledge, networks, and money to build a better Boston for all. And so in their approach, they're sort of hardwired to think about networks and how you really think about the full reach of a problem rather than getting low-income kids subsidized meals or what have you. Mm-hmm. You've got to think about the root causes of the poverty that they're in and how that affects their school life and, you know, all of the variety of factors that may help that child succeed. So they've long thought about their work as almost sort of a network weaver. They help their grantees see connections sometimes. They just build natural space where those connections can happen among grantees, including a sabbatical program where they is multidisciplinary, meaning it's not just for human service organizations or others. And so they just want to pick out some of the most successful creative leaders of nonprofits in Boston. And very interesting relationships have developed as part of that. They've said over time that the unintended results of the sabbatical program, meaning the partnerships that are forged between institutions, has been a real benefit. And then I guess the second example on that one is the Packard Foundation out in Los Altos, California. They have been much more intentional about trying to sort of open source some of their own strategy development. And so they put up a wiki as they were thinking about strategy development in their environmental program. I can't remember the specific piece. And they welcomed the input and feedback from nonprofit leaders, from scientists, from the wide range of potential stakeholders to help them frame up what they were prepared to do.
It really is talking about changing the relationship, the classic, we have the money, you'll do what we say, relationship between funders and those that they fund. It sounds like
absolutely, dear Lord, I hope it does. I mean, that's one of the fundamental barriers to progress, in my view, is the very traditional transactional nature of the relationship often between foundations and those that they fund. And actually, Hildy, that came up in GEO started a piece of work probably 6 or 7 years ago now called the Change Agent Project. And in that project, we were trying to sort of apply the fundamentals of good social change to philanthropy ourselves. So we were trying to find out, you know, what's working, what are the barriers getting in the way, how can philanthropy or how must philanthropy adjust in order to be the best partners in solving complex social problems. Mm-hmm. And the two things that came through as the absolute top priorities for change, one had to do with the money. You know, we need more operating support, bigger dollar grants over the longer term. And the second had to do with the shift in the fundamentals of the relationship. And the way that it surfaced was all the traditional ways, right? You know, there's a power imbalance, or that they take a top-down approach to philanthropy, and we know a lot about what's going on the ground, or all of those, but we saw those as symptoms, not as the root cause. And so when we asked folks, you know, to kind of dig deep and try to get underneath what's going on there, what really came up is that there are 5 or 6 gaps in worldview that must be traversed in order for a foundation board to make really good decisions that are in the best interest of a nonprofit work.
Well, that's great, because you're getting right to the question that I was going to ask you, which is really what are the shifts that need to happen to change that mindset?
One of the fundamentals gets us back to my earliest comment, which is who's engaged, and the engagement of the people closest to the problem, you know, has to be front and center in all of philanthropy's work. The aha for us about those gaps in worldview was really helpful, because nobody inside philanthropy is trying to make any decisions that get in the way. You know,
we're
trying to make decisions that are helpful. We're trying to do our very best on behalf of, you know, not only the nonprofits that we support, but the ultimate beneficiaries of the work. And what makes that hard is the folks who sit inside foundation boardrooms have a very different worldview and life experience oftentimes than the folks who are inside direct service nonprofits, or definitely than the ultimate beneficiaries of much of nonprofit work.
Much of what needs to be bridged. Much of what you're talking about, really, in changing mindset, some folks will say that that's easier said than done. Some folks will say that, in my personal experience, it's not always the case, but we hear frequently people say you can't change people's minds. They don't want to step outside the comfort zone. Are you finding that organizations are, in fact, willing to step outside that comfort zone to look at different ways of funding, or has it been the struggle that people think that it is?
Oh, you know, I think it's yes to both, to be honest. I mean, change is hard. All kinds of change is hard. It requires a recognition that maybe some of what you're doing could be more productive than it is right now, and that's tough to recognize sometimes. But there are great examples of foundations who have come to the realization that their success hinges on their ability to make some of these adjustments. One of the examples that we unearthed actually as part of the Change Agent Project was the Raymond John Wien Foundation in Ohio. And they, you know, they're working in sort of a tough part of Ohio where there was a lot of industry that has been in decline, and they're trying to do community development. And several years ago, they realized that their foundation was not able to be in as close of touch with the issues that they were working on because their leadership was not reflective of the community. And so they made fundamental adjustments to the way that their board was structured, to the, you know, to their hiring processes, and it's paid, you know, real dividends, not only in community trust, but also in closing some of those gaps. And to be honest, GEO, that whole idea of hiring your customers, you know, that's a it's sort of a fundamental, right? Like if, you know, if you're really trying to understand those that you serve, one way to go about that is to bring them in-house and and to have them on the inside. And, you know, that's pretty straightforward. And I guess in our guts, we would all believe that to be the case. But in 2008, GEO did a national study of philanthropic practice where we were trying to ask, you know, we're trying to get to the bottom. Okay, there are foundations out there that engage in a host of the practices that both foundations and nonprofits say are important to effective performance.
Right.
So what's different about them from everybody else? And we tested using appropriate statistical analysis. We tested a couple things. Is it they're all from big foundations? Is it that they're all from community foundations? Is it that they're all from particular geographic areas? And we tested all of that. And the answer is no, none of those are the variables. The variable that matters is that those foundations have people with nonprofit experience inside the staff. So I don't know the directionality on that, Hildy. I don't know whether the nonprofit folks were on the staff and then the policies changed, or that foundation was of the type that they reached out and hired nonprofit folks. But it doesn't matter, because the reality is that with that internal presence, the foundation just behaves in a way that's more productive, more helpful to those that they're trying
more,
to serve.
More connected, I'm sure. More connected.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. In the few minutes that we have left, can you share a little bit about Scaling What Works?
Oh, sure. I'd be glad to. For those who have been less connected, the Social Innovation Fund is a new initiative by the Obama administration. The Social Innovation Fund is hoping to more effectively and creatively drive resources to nonprofits who have proven good results, who have evidence of their success. Many of the fundamentals of this work are the competencies that GEO has and the field of philanthropy have long associated with smart grant making and grant making that helps nonprofits achieve more. So we were very excited to see that work happening in the federal government, and we also, in conversation with funders and with folks at the Corporation for National and Community Service, understood that there's some basic capacity building for the field that needs to happen in order for this approach to funding to really take hold. And so GEO is going to be serving as sort of an ongoing knowledge broker between the field of philanthropy and the various agencies involved with the Social Innovation Fund, so that we can sort of speed the pace at which good ideas gain traction. And we're also going to help those funders interested in adjusting their work to take more into account the evidence of what's working, to build capacity, to think about how you aggregate capital in order to support scale.
It sounds like one of the key pieces, whether it is through the Social Innovation Fund and Scaling What Works, or whether it is through the work that GEO has been doing all along, is really looking at the fact that to move philanthropy to a point where it does make more significant change in communities really is going to require a different set of infrastructure and systems for building those networks and building, whether it's networks of funders to scale, whether it is networks of organizations and coalitions. It seems like the infrastructure in communities and the infrastructure throughout the system is another big piece of what really needs to evolve.
I think that a piece of that infrastructure is that network weaving. The problem with many partnerships or coalitions is that nobody has the staff capacity or oftentimes the expertise to keep that running. And when you do it, when one organization assumes, then everyone else thinks, oh, that's a GEO thing. And that's the role GEO's actually in with the Scaling What Works project is partially we're being an honest broker. We don't actually have a dog in this fight except insofar as moving the principles of good grant making along, but we do care about the ultimate results. And so more folks out there in the world who can help move collaborative work in a sort of a, I don't want to say neutral, but in a way that everyone feels is appropriate for their organization. And then there's groups like Interaction Institute for Social Change and others who do that well, but it's a skill that's still pretty few and far between inside the organizations that support nonprofits and philanthropy with capacity building.
It's a big piece of the infrastructure is just that piece, that role that you're serving right now, that facilitative role.
You know, I'm saying more like if five foundations discover that they care about pre-K education in Cleveland, mm-hmm. they have to patchwork something together to figure out how decisions get made and who's going to be involved in that. And I mean, if we had a more systematic way of getting that done, right. then they could go, oh, we can go to X, right. and there's help for that. And they've already got it all worked out, all of the fundamentals of how do you give money together in a way that helps the nonprofit.
The thing that we have found is that the infrastructure that exists supports a system that has been proven repeatedly to not work. And that the more we are looking at systems that have the potential to work and that we have seen work, that we need all new infrastructure to support that. And some of the things that you have been talking about are specifically that kind of infrastructure. The skill to be a neutral facilitator of multiple organizations, whether they're funders, whether they're on-the-ground providers, the skill to have that facilitation be seamless and joyful for everyone.
Yeah, right.
We have the assumption that when groups get together, there's going to be a battle for turf. When
right.
things are well facilitated, that goes away. And so we again, those are some of the infrastructure things that we're seeing is just,
yeah.
we've got wonderful infrastructure, solid infrastructure, and lots of dogs in the fight for
right.
things that we know don't work.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. You know, I agree on lots and lots of things, and I think that the infrastructure that currently exists is part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
In that we are put in competition with one another for relatively small pools of resource, and therefore we get very turf-oriented instead of collaborative and moving the collective agenda that we care about, and we're sort of reactive and defensive rather than articulating a real clear vision
yep.
that people can rally behind. And I think that it's sort of the exception to the rule
yeah.
of folks operating with these new modes of giving credit rather than claiming it, and all of those things, but now it's hard for organizations that try to embody that approach because in the current world, you're just going to get bulldozed, you know, because you need more than one or two organizations operating that way. You need
the interesting thing about the work that both you and I are doing, which always makes me smile, is that people will consistently say, well, that would require changing the systems. And the thing that I always enjoy about your and my conversations is that the answer both of us have is, well, then let's just change the systems.
Right, exactly. That's what is required. You're right.
So let's just do it.
Exactly. You know, the fundamental for me is that all of this work that we care about, that the challenges will outlast each of us as individuals. It'll outlast this next administration. So we've got to take a collective approach to problem solving. We've got to work with and through groups and build the collective will so that the work, in fact, outlasts our individual organizations or even individual administrations. And that is tough, and it requires a lot of coalition building. It requires a sort of a facilitative leadership style that puts the work in the middle rather than my needs or my organization in the middle. And that's going to be an adjustment. And that's an adjustment that not just philanthropy needs to make, but all of us involved in social change need to embrace if we're really going to step up our impact.
Kathleen Enright, thank you so much. This has been absolutely informative. I so appreciate your time. It has really been a wonderful conversation. Thank you.
Well, no, thank you for the opportunity, Hildy.
It's always refreshing to talk with Kathleen. Her perspective is so incredibly practical. She knows from experience that if we aim for making a bigger difference in the world, that's what we achieve. I appreciate Kathleen's point that social change requires that all of us work together authentically, and that a collective approach to change will require that we have the space for those connections to happen. In our own work at the Community Driven Institute, we see over and over that if we give organizations a structure for working together, that they want to do so. And so I appreciate Kathleen's emphasis on building a new kind of infrastructure, new systems for weaving together networks of individuals and organizations who care about the same things and supporting them in that collective work. I also appreciate Kathleen's candor in talking about what she called the transactional nature of traditional funding, and especially her observations about that power imbalance that exists in the classic relationship between funders and grantees. As Kathleen notes, eliminating that power imbalance may require some folks to step outside the comfort zone to recognize that what we're doing could be more effective. One thing is certain, reaching for the highest potential for the funder and grantee relationship and figuring out what it would take to achieve that potential, it's going to take a lot more engaged conversation with, as Kathleen suggests, everyone joining that conversation. If you're interested in being part of that conversation, this discussion will continue at the Chronicles Making Change subgroup at LinkedIn. If you're not already a member of LinkedIn or the Making Change group, please sign up and join us. The conversation generated by these podcasts is always lively. And you can always find great ways to connect as well as other terrific information at the Chronicles website, philanthropy.com, or follow the Chronicle on Twitter @philanthropy. We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Making Change. If you have ideas for guests for this podcast, folks who are driving new ways of thinking about what it takes to create visionary social change, please get hold of me on Twitter. I'm @HildyGottlieb, or at our website, communitydriven.org. Thanks for listening and for wanting to create a better future for the community you serve. For the Chronicle of Philanthropy, I'm Hildy Gottlieb. We'll see you the first Thursday of next month here on Making Change.